Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to you by AllShred, Mobile Document Destruction, Shredding Today for Growth Tomorrow, Putman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile, and Dynamic Living Solutions, the perfect, they need a new tagline because this is related to the holidays. It says give the gift of health technology, but it's health technology stuff. It's like air purification, water purification. Jason Sear, who is the owner of Dynamic Living Solutions, used to say that if you don't own a purifier, you are a purifier.
my liver is taking care of all that, isn't it?
Yeah, your liver, yeah. Your lungs.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Great.
Last week we were talking about the Christmas trees and Advent wreaths and all that sort of stuff, and we didn't get any light fluffy stuff that I thought we'd get into, so I'm just going to blow through some of that stuff. I don't know if it's because people know that I'm a Christian or if it's because people know I do this radio show or whatever, but I get tons of this kind of email. Do you get this kind of email? I mean, you've heard us do you've been part of these shows where we do these email things.
Yeah.
Do you get those kind of emails?
I get a few here and there. Yeah.
I get them every day.
And some of them are
every
okay,
day.
Some of them are not so okay.
Some of them are good, yeah. But anyway, some of them are cute, and so I want to share those, and some of them are aggravating, and I definitely want to share those. So this one is just subject line is Christmas. 'Twas the month before Christmas when all through our land not a Christian was praying nor taking a stand. See, the PC police had taken away the reason for Christmas. No one could say. The children were told by their schools not to sing about shepherds and wise men and angels and things. It might hurt people's feelings, the teachers would say. December 25th is just a holiday. Yet the shoppers were ready, with cash, checks, and credit, pushing folks down to the floor just to get it. CDs from Madonna and Xbox and iPod. Something was changing, something quite odd. Retailers promoted Ramadan and Kwanzaa in hopes of selling books by Franken and Fonda. As Targets were hanging their trees upside down, at Lowe's the word Christmas was nowhere to be found. At Best Buy and Staples and Penny's and Sears, you won't hear the word Christmas. It won't touch your ears. Inclusive, sensitivity, diversity are words that were used to intimidate me. Now Pelosi, now Darden, now Sharpton, Wolf Blitzen, on Boxer, on Rather, on Kerry, on Clinton. At the top of the Senate, there arose such a clatter to eliminate Jesus in all public matter. And we spoke not a word as they took away our faith, forbidden to speak of salvation and grace. The true gift of Christmas was exchanged and discarded. The reason for the season stopped before it started. So as you celebrate winter break under your dream tree, sipping your Starbucks, listen to me. Choose your words carefully. Choose what you say. Shout, Merry Christmas. Not happy holiday. Amen.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it goes after the definite attempt to cleanse the public square of all references to God whatsoever. You know, the whole separation of church and state that has turned into a purify the public square from all things religious.
I'm guessing that when you send out a Christmas card, that you say Merry Christmas on it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
You recently didn't receive enough votes to become a member of the school board.
Okay.
But if you had, and you were sending out a Christmas card, not as the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, by the way, Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Welcome.
But you were sending it as a representative of the school board. Would you say Merry Christmas on it? Or would you say Happy Holidays on it? You're sending it as a politician, not as a pastor at that stage. Or, I mean, can you separate the two, I guess, maybe is the question, too.
Well, I guess the fact that I would even pause and think about it kind of bugs me a little bit. I guess I don't have any reason to not say Merry Christmas. And I'm pausing to think about it because, I don't out and out want to offend anybody, but I don't know. It's easy for me to say now because I don't have to actually,
right, sure,
deal with the implications.
Because President Bush sends out Happy Holidays cards, right? And he's a very overtly Christian, at least, we have no reason to doubt his faith, and he's out there with his faith, and everybody's talking about what a strong Christian he is, and yet he doesn't send out, as the President of the United States, a Merry Christmas card. He sends out a Happy Holidays
card. Well, like a similar issue would be Franklin Graham praying at an inauguration ceremony for the President of the United States. Is it appropriate for him at that moment to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, or should he just pray in the name of Almighty God? I had a recent opportunity at a at an event here in Frederick, a Republican political event, and they asked me to pray. And I chose to pray in the name of Jesus just because that's how I pray. And it's very
possible,
some
negative feedback?
Very likely that some people might have been offended. But I didn't make a big deal about it. That's just who I am. And if somebody wants to be offended about that, then they can be. But again, I feel like it's a tiny issue. You know, I'm not out there trying to take people's rights away from them. I'm just out there being who I am.
I forget who it was. There was a local politician this past summer that got in some controversy over that issue. Paul Smith, I think it was.
Paul Smith, yeah.
I think he had a public prayer, and he said in the name of Jesus Christ. And
sure, right.
There was a big uproar for about a week and a half, and it died down.
Yeah, as if somehow it's automatically offensive for somebody to do that. And I guess I have to ask myself, if a Muslim were offering a prayer at a place like that and they prayed in the name of their, you know, of Allah, I would have to do something for the sake of my conscience, you know, to show that I'm not in agreement with that prayer, whether it would mean that I would stand up or walk out of the room or, you know, do whatever. But I don't know necessarily that it's the place of those in political position to, you know, to make a law or a policy about it. You know, just let the people be who they are. We're going to get into that a little bit. Actually, we got into it a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? So anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll give you a little behind the scenes in case we make that the stumble again.
Yeah.
We record this show in advance.
Yeah.
And we're recording shows out of order. So the shows you're going to hear the next 2 weeks, I mean, the shows that you already heard 4 and 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
we haven't recorded yet.
Yeah. We recorded these first, and then
so we might
in our, a couple minutes we're our, actually going to be doing the others.
Our tenses might be a little goofy from time to time, so we're not losing our minds.
Thank you for your patience with us.
Jonathan's not time traveling in the middle of the show here or something. It's,
it's
anyway.
A new religion.
All right, this one's a different Christmas poem, and the slug line on this is a different Christmas poem. There you go.
Yeah.
The embers glowed softly, and in their dim light, I gazed round the room, and I cherished the sight. My wife was asleep, her head on my chest, my daughter beside me, angelic in rest. Outside, the snow fell, a blanket of white, transforming the yard to a winter delight. The sparkling lights in the tree, I believe, completed the magic that was Christmas Eve. My eyelids were heavy, my breathing was deep, secure and surrounded by love, I would sleep. In perfect contentment, or so it would seem, so I slumbered, perhaps I started to dream. The sound wasn't loud and it wasn't too near, but I opened my eyes when it tickled my ear. Perhaps just a cough, I didn't quite know, then the sure sounds of footsteps outside in the snow. My soul gave a tremble, I struggled to hear, and I crept to the door just to see who was near. Standing out in the cold and dark of the night, a lone figure stood, his face weary and tight. So far, nothing about Jesus in this Christmas poem.
Yeah, right.
A soldier.
Oh.
I puzzled, some 20 years old, perhaps a Marine, huddled here in the cold. Alone in the dark, he looked up and smiled, standing watch over me and my wife and my child. What are you doing? I asked without fear. Come in this moment. It's freezing out here. Put down your pack. Brush the snow from your sleeve. You should be at home on a cold Christmas Eve. For barely a moment, I saw his eyes lift and shift away from the cold and the snow blown in drifts to the window that danced with a warm fire's light. Then he sighed and he said, it's really all right. I'm out here by choice. I'm here every night. It's my duty to stand at the front of the line. That separates you from the darkest of times. No one had to ask or beg or implore me. I'm proud to stand here like my fathers before me. My gramps died at Pearl Harbor on a day in December. Then he sighed. That's a Christmas Graham always remembers. My dad stood his watch in the jungles of Nam, and now it's my turn, and so here I am. I've not seen my own son in more than a while, but my wife sends me pictures. He's sure got her smile. Then he bent and he carefully pulled from his bag the red, white, and blue, an American flag. I can live through the cold and being alone, away from my family, my house, and my home. I can stand at my post through the rain and the sleet. I can sleep in a foxhole with little to eat. I can carry the weight of killing another or lay down my life with my sister and brother who stand at the front against any and all to ensure for all time that this flag will not fall. So go back inside, you said. Harbor no fright. Your family is waiting, and I'll be all right. But isn't there something I can do? At the least, give you money, I asked, or prepare you a feast? It seems all too little for all that you've done for being away from your wife and your son. Then his eye welled with tears that he had no regret. Just tell us you love us and never forget. To fight for our rights back at home while we're gone, to stand your own watch no matter how long, for when we come home, either standing or dead, to know you remember we fought and we bled, is payment enough. And with that, we will trust that we mattered to you as you mattered to us. And it ends, please, would you do the kind favor of sending this to as many people as you can? Christmas is coming soon, and some credit is due to our U.S. servicemen and women for our being able to celebrate these festivities. Let's try this small way to put a tiny bit of what we owe, make people stop and think of our heroes living and dead who sacrificed themselves for us, a different Christmas poem. I'm going to make enemies right now. This is, you know, a powerful image, and it's so true, and there are men and women giving their lives, risking their lives, staying away from their loved ones, and all of that part of it is true. But as Linus wouldn't say, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. He wouldn't say that about this poem. This poem isn't what Christmas is all about. Christmas isn't about remembering our military heroes. Christmas is about remembering God's great gift and how he humbled himself to take on human flesh, to become a man himself, to really humiliate himself.
Okay, so right? You're not saying that you don't like the poem. You're just saying that it's not a poem that is helping to clarify what Christmas is all about. Rather, it's a poem that is going after how easy it is for us to forget that our freedoms are brought to us based on the death of other people.
Right. And even that, from my Christian perspective, even that's not true. Right. We get all of our freedom from God. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. It's taking I know I'm making enemies in this, and I understand what is meant by this, but as a Christian who sees, we were talking about this last week, who sees this, how secularization has crept in and robbed the meaning of the season, if this was on its own, if what I just read, I'm pointing to it, like people can see me pointing to it.
Yeah, yeah.
If what I just read was in a vacuum bias or was the only evidence of like not really nailing the meaning of the season,
yeah,
it wouldn't bother me so much. But it's like every time you turn around, all Christmas season, which starts about, you know, August 14th, I think, is when the Christmas season begins in all the stores. So for the last, you know, for like 5.5 months,
yeah,
you have the Christmas season,
yeah,
and there's no mention of Christ, or if there is, it's not talked about what it really means. Sure, you talk about the baby Jesus. What does that mean? We've totally lost the meaning,
and this just helps frustrate me that?
Because on the one hand, it's so good, and on the other hand...
Yeah, there's a malaise that you are experiencing in your gut that bothers you. There's an irritation, and what exactly is that irritation? It's not Christmas and the lack of Christ being mentioned in Christmas. That's a symptom of what's really bugging you, which is...
What really bugs me is that I don't think that the church does a very good... And by the church, I mean the body of believers, not the hierarchy, not the leadership, you know, not the buildings for sure. The body of believers, we collectively don't do a very good job as the church of being the church.
And
if the church would be the church, these things wouldn't be nearly as annoying.
I would argue that I don't think that's true. Okay. You wanted to keep this light and fluffy today, didn't
okay.
you?
Okay. Tell me why.
Because Christ is the one that is purifying and beautifying his church. There is no problem with his church. The problem is among those that claim to be the church that are no longer being the church, that have left being the church. But if you really view the church as those that are Christ's and with Christ, I'm telling you, those people are doing a phenomenal job with these things. And when you see those people, when you spend time with those people, as a Christian, I have no doubt that you're phenomenally encouraged in your own heart and spirit. The problem is that the society, we live in a society that in our generation has moved far enough away from God that there even is a whole slew of these guys that are in churches claiming to be Christians that have walked away from the meaning of what Christ was all about. In fact, Christ called those guys on it back when he was here, Pharisees and Sadducees, the different people. And he said, if you believed Moses, if you believed everything that had been written in the scriptures till this time, then you would believe me. And the problem is that our generation has turned their back on that. That's what is the real problem. It's not the church letting those people down.
So what you're saying is I'm confusing the visible and invisible church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think it's so important because
the visible, by the way, for clarification, the visible
right.
The visible being everybody you see in the pews on Sunday, everybody who's there, or anybody who would call themselves a Christian, that's the visible church.
Yeah.
And then there's those that only God knows their heart, and only he knows for sure if they've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life, and that would be the invisible church, invisible to us, only visible to God. That's the distinction. That's what I was saying, confused. And you're saying that Christ's church, his true church, those that are truly his, that he sees and knows their heart, they're living.
Making these distinctions in their everyday lives.
All right. Maybe that's fair enough.
On a regular basis.
Maybe
and
I'm
the reason
frustrated.
Why this is important is because I hear people say all the time, man, if the church would just be the church, and I'm like, wait a second, there's a point at which the church will be the church and the world around will still reject the message. It happened in Christ's time. It's happened all through history. It's happening in China right now. It's happening in North Korea, places in Africa, India. And when the church is being phenomenal, everything that Christ would desire that it would be, and yet the culture still turns its back and co-opts Christ and the message of Christ to their own ends or to their own cultural ends, their own social ends, their own political ends, and they use the church for things that Christ never had in mind.
All right. Well, then I might have to temper my view just a little bit, but I got to think through how to do that.
Yeah.
How I make the, how
and I.
And
I think it is worth being angry at that.
And how I grapple with the distinction between
deception.
Those that are merely professing Christians. I guess that's really what it is. It's this, it seems like those who are merely professing Christians, not truly heart committed Christians.
Yeah.
It seems like they're allowed to get away with it too much.
Yeah.
They're not held account. They're not called on it and said, wait a minute, you can say you're a Christian all day long, but if you're really a Christian, then this and this and this have to be true about you.
And I'll tell you that as a pastor, well, for you too. Come on, you're a believer, you're a Christian. You have as much the responsibility to do this as anybody else. Our task, our responsibility in church is always to be doing that, to call people on those things and to refuse to allow the subtle corruption of the message, subtle corruption of discipleship. You know the little bit of the fly in the ointment, allowing a little bit of foolishness to come in. We constantly, for that matter, look at Christ and his disciples. Did they get it right? I mean, he called them on it and called them on it and called them on it, and they were Christ's disciples. They were Jesus' own disciples, and yet the night before he's to be crucified, they're still blowing it, and they're still doing the wrong thing. So I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that we shouldn't push for perfection, but I do think that we have to think in terms of making disciples, and when we're doing that, we realize that there's a measure of mercy that's necessary, even for those that aren't doing it right, because at some level, that's been true about you and me.
Sure.
And to the extent that that's the case, we need to be called on it.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. That's Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, taking me to school. And I'm
Troy
Skinner.
If I can't get him into my church, then at least I'll school him when I'm on the radio with him.
Here's an email.
He claims he wants this kind of abuse. But
it's somebody that I think might agree with what my opinion was 5 minutes ago. The subject line is, this is not a holiday tree, it's a Christmas tree.
Okay.
All right. If you missed knowing me, you may not have missed much. If you missed my emails, you may have missed a laugh. But if you missed knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, you have missed everything. And then there's a picture. I'll show it to Jonathan there. All right.
All right.
A big, glorious
Christmas tree.
Elizabethan.
That's like Tannenbaum.
Yeah, this is like the perfect Christmas tree. This is the kind of Christmas tree you only see on television shows.
Yeah, right.
And it says, this is a Christmas tree. It is not a Hanukkah bush. It is not an Allah plant. It is not a holiday hedge.
Is there such a thing as an Allah plant?
I didn't know there was an Allah plant or a Hanukkah bush, for that matter. I didn't know. And who called? Oh, put your present right there under the holiday hedge there.
The holiday hedge.
I've never heard that.
I hope you never do.
It says Christmas. Here in
there
Bolden.
It is, right?
Christ. Yes, Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Take a stand and pass this on.
Well, there you have it.
Well, okay.
Well, too late. I mean, we're like into the new year now.
Next year.
Yeah, next year.
Here's the
point is these are cultural issues that, you know.
And here's why it's an issue. Why do Christians get all up in arms about this? And, you know, particularly those that are less mature like me about this and get all mad. Because things like this happen. You might have heard about this. This is, I think it's Wisconsin.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find the. In Dodgeville, Wisconsin, Ridgeway Elementary School's winter program changed the name of Silent Night to Cold in the Night, sung to the tune of Silent Night. The lyrics include, cold in the night, no one in sight, winter winds whirl and bite, how I wish I were happy and warm, safe with my family out of the storm. The winter program included decorating classrooms with Santa Claus, Kwanzaa symbols, menorahs, and Labafana, a Christmas witch. Also in Wisconsin, the Glendale—
See, now I can see why this is really bugging me. Because they allow everything except the nativity.
Even the Christmas symbols that Christians would say that they love and adore and grew up with, like Santa Claus, right? And they've invented this Labafana, the Christmas witch.
Christmas witch, Labafana.
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 Labafana, I don't know. Also in Wisconsin, the Glendale River Hills School District has banned every Christmas song which has any Christian motive or theme. But while if it bans any Christian motive or theme,
what are you doing? It's a little bit Nazi-esque.
Like, well, what are you going to sing about?
You know, the brown shirts are coming.
You're going to sing about, you know, taking the axe handle to your neighbor? Like, what's left if you take out all the Christian themes? Which love, charity, hope,
giving,
peace, kindness.
You know?
Anyway,
not allowed to give any gifts anymore. That's too Christian.
But the district does permit secular holiday songs as well as songs celebrating Hanukkah. In defending this policy, Francis Smith, the district administrator, says that the Hanukkah songs are more cultural than spiritual. What these schools are doing to our children is not educating but indoctrinating, it says here. And they are using Christmas as an excuse. Following the lead of the National Education Association, Wisconsin educational leaders preach tolerance and diversity while being highly intolerant. Most of the residents of Wisconsin are tolerant, but not their educational leaders. And it goes on and on and on.
Right.
That's why people get, you know, kind of bent out of whack, you know. That's where it can go. And it feels like that's where it's going.
At that point, you're dealing with blatant discrimination, and they're claiming that Christians are the intolerant ones when they're the ones that are being intolerant. And that's the point at which I think it's absolutely appropriate for Christians to raise their voice and say, look, there's something absolutely deceptive, wrong, wicked, and evil about this, and we need to be angry about that, I think. You know?
I'm trying to read this like in the tune in my head, and I'm, you know. Cold in the night, no one in sight.
Cold in the night, no one in sight.
Winter winds whirl and bite.
Winter winds whirl and bite.
How I wish I were happy and warm.
How I wish I were happy. See, now you got me singing it. I want to sing Silent
Safe
Night.
Safe with my family out of the store.
Safe with. Yeah, now,
this
I'm,
is,
now I'm off. Yeah.
But this is.
Right. There's nothing.
Not only is it destroying really a lot of people's favorite Christmas hymn, right?
Yeah.
But it's replacing it with just these really trite, horrible lyrics. You know, it's cold in the night, no one in sight. They must have thought hours about that rhyme.
Right.
What
right.
rhymes with night?
Yeah. Sight, light, white.
Bite.
Yeah,
you know,
kite.
I mean, these are this is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have written that. You could have written that.
I think maybe I did. I don't know. In another life. There's a different show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. That's our Buddhist debate, not our faith debate.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think everybody should anticipate a good year, despite the fact that our nation is moving away from Christian foundations.
It's almost amazing to believe that it's 2007, isn't it? I remember when I was just a little chitlin.
Chitlin.
One of my favorite bands back then was a group called Styx. Mm. And they had, I think it was Paradise Theater, one of their albums on cassette back then.
Yeah.
Came out. And one of their songs has, Dennis DeYoung is the lead singer, starts off by saying, "Don't look now, but here come the 80s.
No way. Wow.
And when I hear that, it makes me
Lord
feel
have mercy.
Really old.
No.
Really old. Like the Rocky Balboa movie coming out now, right? It's
right.
You know, and the champion, he says, "It's not over till it's over." And the champion says, "What's that, from the 80s? And he goes, "Actually, that's probably from the 70s.
from way back. Yeah.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, I do think that there's reason to hope for a good year, you know, to press in and to start things new and fresh. I think all those things are very important, and to, you know, to anticipate that there's that now's as good a time as any to change and to make the necessary changes in our lives, specifically with Christ and with the power of His Holy Spirit, you know, giving us the strength that we need. So why not? Why not do it now? New Year, 2007.
Amen. You must be a pastor or something.
Yeah, right.
Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick, meeting at Crestwood Middle School on Sunday mornings. Little plug there.
Thanks.
10 o'clock service?
Yeah, 10 o'clock
10 o'clock service. Frederick Faith Debate, brought to us by All Shred Mobile Document Destruction, Putman Plumbing and Heating, and Dynamic Living Solutions. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Thanks for listening. God bless.